Before I get down to business, I've got several things that I need to do today. Don't worry, you're not on the list today.
Yeah.
I greet this church today. If there is anywhere on the face of this earth that I feel is a second home to me, it's right here. And I realize that I live 5.5 hours away. But there's very few Sundays that I miss checking you guys out on the internet. And I'm thankful for my relationship here. It's great to have my wife with me. Usually I'm by myself. Everybody look at her and say, hubba, hubba. I'll pay for that later, but it was worth it. It's good to see Bishop and Sister Bishop here. I almost fell on the floor the first time I heard y'all call her Sister Bishop. That was the funniest thing that I had ever heard in my life. And now it just kind of fits, doesn't it? I have nothing but phenomenal memories of this place. And I looked at the crowd a while ago, and you need to have me more often. Half of y'all, I don't have a clue who you are. And you don't have a clue who I am. But remember the words of, he was using a while ago about awesome evangelist? That's not true. But I look at this morning as I drove onto the campus, I looked at what is still there, but what used to be the back building. And I look at what you have now. He said 85. I'm going to go with that. Y'all have come a long way. But it's because of the blessings of God. Oh, y'all can bring your money and y'all can have a vision, but without the anointing, without the blessings of God, it's all for naught. Did you hear these folks singing a while ago? You can't feel this anywhere else. You can't feel those goosebumps. I'm glad today to be a part of APC, whether y'all like it or not. I'm glad to be a part. Your pastor and sister pastor? Okay, y'all don't like that, but I do. They have been friends of mine for multiple years. And if by some strange phenomenal chance, if some way or another, if I outlive your pastor, you may have to help me get up on this platform, but please give me 3 minutes, because I've got some stories that y'all don't know about, that you need to know about. And if you'll treat me right here today, I'll tell them even before that. I talked to your pastor recently on the phone, not aware that I was on speakerphone. If you call me and you're on speakerphone, I always say, hey, you're on speakerphone. I wasn't aware that I was on speakerphone, and I called him because at Greater Life, we had one of the most phenomenal services that I had ever been in my life. Worship was off the charts. I got up there to preach. Folks, I preached. My wife is sitting here. I preached for 1 hour and 45 minutes. I told people to sit down at least 50 times. And every time I would say, I've got to stop, I've got to stop, folks were standing up saying, preach, preach, preach. I wanted my buddy, my pal, my friend, I wanted him to know that we had had such a service. So I talked about the worship. I talked about the hour and 45 minutes, y'all. Hour and 45 minutes that I preached. And I heard this voice way over in the background say, what for? The reason her head is down because she knows I'm not exaggerating. Now, here's the problem. Because I've already been forewarned by your pastor. APC loves their pastor's wife. Listen, I'm leaving in the morning, so I don't care. Has anybody noticed, other than me, that it's been 3.5 years since I've been back? 3.5. Well, looks like it's going to be 7.5 before. Your pastor recently in this pulpit, he recently was preaching to you about expectation. Some way or another, he brought my name into the mix. And he talked about how every Easter, for 6 or 7, for multiple years, every Easter right here or up there, we started on Sunday morning. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. That would kill some of y'all. And I know it would kill me. He's talking about, every year we used to have Brother Tony Frederick. He would come every year and have revival. And he quit doing that. He stopped inviting me a long time ago to come for Easter. And his argument was, you pastor a church. You can't miss your church to come here. April the 14th, I retired from pastoring. So what are you going to do in 2024? I bet he doesn't have a revival Sunday through Sunday. I'm so glad to be here today for all of the accommodations, for your kindness. I got locked up last night with a bunch of thugs over in that building over there. I will never go back there ever again. I'm aware that y'all are proud of that, and I am thrilled for you. It is beautiful, but I'm not going back. I've done this every time that I've ever come to Bloomington. I pulled up on the parking lot. Always, this is the first place to come. Before I go anywhere, I come here. I just kind of driving around, had some memories flooding my mind, and I was met. I don't see him. Oh, he's coming in the door. I was met by a member of your congregation. I rolled the window down, and his words was, ha, trouble's come to town. And I want to say this publicly. Pal of mine, I don't appreciate you talking about my wife that way. If that's all you've got to say, then next time just get in your car and go somewhere else. Isaiah 54, I'm done with the foolishness. Isaiah 54, there's others of you that needs some rebuke. But doesn't the scripture say that, and I'm paraphrasing, so be patient with me. Doesn't the scripture say that if people that are mean to you and bad to you, if you won't retaliate, if you'll keep your mouth shut, that basically you're heaping coals of fire upon their heads. There's some hotheads in here today. I know that. I'd like today to give you something that the Lord gave me Thursday night, or Wednesday, Thursday. And I've never heard this preached before. Never in my life. I've never heard anybody preach this. So since I've never heard anybody preach it, and I feel like the Lord gave it to me, I'm going to preach it the way I want to. And if I misconstrue something, my apologies. But I got a feeling, I've already been told what time to quit preaching. Already been told that at a particular time, whether I'm done or not, the lights will be turned out and the building will be empty. But if you'll give me, normally when I preach, I've got about 7 pages of notes. I've got 4 this morning. So you know what that means? Nothing. Isaiah 54:1, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Bring forth into singing and cry aloud that thou did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. If the Lord will help me, I assure you that I'm going to be on your good side today. I'm going to let you out early. But I want to preach to you just for a moment on captivity singing. Captivity singing. Would you help me pray? Father, I love you and I'm grateful for all of your blessings. I'm thankful for everything that you've done for us. I'm thankful for this church, for this body of believers, and for the history that it is setting today for the future. I pray, God, that you will bless us. I pray, God, that you will help me just for a few moments, Lord, just for a few minutes today. I pray, God, that you'll help me. I pray your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you sure are looking good. And then you can be seated. God bless you. That's going to be hard for some of y'all to do. As always, every day of my life, I am thankful for the Lord's provision. I'm grateful for the blessings that he has bestowed upon my wife and I, and how he has worked out impossibilities and made them seem to be as simply common. I walk up and down the aisles of our hospitals, and I visit the prisons and the jails, and I especially at the hospitals and nursing homes, I have come to realize that there's people that are laying in those beds that would trade their life for mine without hesitation. There would be no questions of, how about your knees? How about your back? What about your shoulders? What about your hips? There would be no questions of, what kind of medicines are you on? That I'm just able to be up on my feet walking those hallways, they would trade their life for mine without question. Over there last night in that place of doom, over there last night, I've got to the age where I don't talk about the golf shots anymore. I don't talk about the home runs that I hit. It's been a long time since I hit one, too. I don't talk about the touchdowns that I scored. I don't talk about any of that. You know what I talk about? Hey, what kind of medicine you want? Oh, really? You're on that? Hey, I'm on that too. Did it work for you? Because it hadn't done anything for me. We talk about how there's just mornings I don't want to get out of bed because my knee hurts so bad. I've got a knee replacement surgery that's just a few weeks away. Man, I hope y'all pray for me. I hope y'all pray. Because I'm going to call, some way or another, we're going to get a phone in here where y'all can hear me cry and whine. But I think about the provisions of God. And I think about, and I don't mean to be morbid here today, and please forgive me if I take that approach, but I think about a knee replacement compared to what could be. When I think about this, not always, listen, it may happen today. It may happen. If it does, please don't think anything. Sometimes my knee just goes out and I fall down. It's embarrassing when you're 65. Now, if you fall off a ladder, that's one thing, but just to be walking around and the knee goes out and you go down, I hop up and I look around, did anybody see? And there's always at least one that saw. I think about the things that may be wrong with my body, but then I walk into the hospital room and I think about, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. And I'm here today to tell you, and I'm not trying to make light of your plight, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm here to tell you, just that you are able to be in this building today, you are a blessed individual. And you ought to thank God for that. I met the crisis nurse last night. I know you're here because I saw you. Yeah. There she is. How many nurses have y'all got in this place? Here's the thing. If I go down, I expect y'all to swoop in on me. My wife is a nurse. Don't let her up. Don't let her up here. I have been blessed abundantly. And whether you know it or not, you have been blessed. And that you are able to come here to worship the Lord, it is something that we should not take for granted. Because again, I say to you, there are people that wish they could be here today whom they can't. I will not go into the entire story. It would bore you. It wouldn't be important. But we, my wife and I, we lost our home, lost everything we had to a fire. I went back in, I got out of the house. My wife was at work. I got out of the house, and my old dog didn't follow me. And my old dog was still in that house. And I went back in that house to get my old dog. And when I went in the house to get the dog, I could hear my dog whining, crying, but I couldn't get to him. And so I'm going down the hall, and this is not good. I got to a certain place in the hall where I realized I got to get out of here. If I don't get out of here, they're going to drag me out of here. And so I left that old dog. I still regret that. But I left that old dog in our bedroom. Well, that's where they found him. And I left, and one thing led to another. It's a long story that would bore you. But because of post-pandemic prices, material prices, we were horribly underinsured. Looked like, I mean, the number, $100,000 in the hole was the common number that kept repeating itself. Now, I know $100,000 to you guys is nothing. I mean, y'all got that in nickels in your front pocket. But at my age, at $100,000, we wasn't going to recover from that before we left this world. I just want you to know that 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever week it was, it doesn't matter. Recently, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we moved back in our house. And we're just thrilled to be back in it. We sat around downstairs, we sat around just grinning at each other. Because for a year and a half, we lived in a 24 by 24 cottage. I could not get away from that woman. Now, I got run of the house. Not only that, the $100,000 that I spoke of, all of that has been paid, and we got $713 left over in our pocket today. You know what I'm telling you? God's provision is greater than any circumstance. God's provision is better than any sickness. God's provision is better than anything that you are facing here today. I'm thankful to know that God's willingness to provide divine intervention in my circumstance is a constant promise. It's a constant promise. One statistic that I read on the internet, and if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. One statistic, I love numbers, but I read this on the internet. It stated that there are 8,810 biblical promise of circumstantial deliverance from the Lord. Oh, I expected somebody to run. 8,810 promises to me. Now, if you want to say, now they belong to you too, that's fine, but I'm not going to say it. I'm glad to know that the Lord has promised me 8,810 times that when you're upside down, inside out, when you're sick, when you're afflicted, when you don't know what to do, God has promised me 8,810 times, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, I'll go with you always. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. The righteous cry out, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them. 8,810 times. But you see, there's a flip side to those 8,810 promises of deliverance. You can look at it also as that's also 8,810 promises of trouble. If desolation doesn't hit your life, what is there to be delivered from? So you take those promises and we're thrilled by them. But if you look at it, you see that door, right? Those two doors or any door, it serves two purposes. It's an entrance and it's also an exit. You get to a certain point, it turns from one to the other. And so you and I need to realize that you're not going to get through this thing called life, especially with the idiots that's running this country. Can't believe I said that, and I didn't get one amen. I get frustrated because I want God to do it. This last year and a half, I have raised my voice. I have slung my arms. I have looked men in the eyeballs. Just the other day, I looked them in the eyes and I said, "You get all of your tools. You get every man that's working for you, and you get off of my property right now. If you are here in another 10 minutes, I'm going to call the law. Leave. He said, well, that's going to pose a problem. I said, yeah, it's going to pose a problem for you if you don't leave. You told me, well, I'm not going to get into all that, but I said, you've made all these promises and you haven't delivered on one. So why would I let you stay here working on my house? Go! I don't talk like that, y'all. I talk ugly, but it's in a loving manner. We have dealt with issues that we never thought we would have to deal with. But let me say this today. When I would go to the house of God, and this and this was as messed up as it had ever been, when I was struggling just to keep my head above water, when I was struggling just not to walk in there anyway, every time that I would approach the king, every time that I would come to the house of God, you know what the Lord would do? One of those 8,810 promises. He would meet me at the altar. You know what he'd do? He'd change my mind. He would change my thinking. He had touched my heart, and I was ready for a new day. I wasn't delivered from the circumstance, but I was delivered through the circumstance. And God's not always going to give you that miracle. God's not always going to help you come through. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you faith. He's going to give you courage that you're able to make it through, because who knows what tomorrow holds. Here's what I have found. Just because today's bad, that doesn't mean that tomorrow's not going to be worse. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. When I think about the Lord's provision, I'm a blessed man. But I need to go back to these scriptures. I want you to see something here in Isaiah 54. God's people are in Babylonian captivity. I'm hurrying. God's people are in Babylonian captivity. They weren't supposed to be in captivity. This is God's chosen people. These are the people that God said, and these are the people that should have, if anybody was free, it should have been them. But because of their inaction, let me just say this real quick. Inaction is just as bad as the wrong action. That's counseling 101. Help me. They are in Babylonian captivity. The same people that were handpicked by God, the people who had witnessed the miraculous power of God, the people who had taken, that God had taken great delight in, the people that the Lord promised companionship with, they have now lost their freedom because of their wayward actions. I don't want you to raise your hand, because I know what would happen. Just about every hand in this building would probably raise. How many times has the Lord done a miracle for you? Am I the only one? How many times has the Lord provided finances when you didn't know where it was coming from? Now, maybe in your old age, maybe you got everything under control and you got money under the mattress and you've got all... Maybe that's the way it is now, but it ain't always been that way. There was days my wife and I told her, I said, baby, I'm hungry. She said, we don't have anything to eat. I said, well, get something out of the freezer. She said, ice won't go very far. I mean, we were destitute. You know what I did? I called my mama. Hey, Mom, what are you doing? Oh, I was just fixing me and your daddy a little supper. Hey, I just thought we'd drop in for no reason. I just thought we'd come by and say, hey. And she'd say, well, come on, I'll put a little something else. It might have only been hot dogs, but it was better than ice. I have witnessed, I just told you a story. I mean, maybe $100,000 doesn't mean a lot to you. But I've just told you a story of how God provided $100,713. I have watched the Lord do that for us on multiple occasions, as you have seen. And yet we come to the house of God, and for some reason, we can't lift our hands to worship Him. Used to, every time I would come back in the evangelizing days, y'all would ask me to sing. Nobody's asking me to sing anymore. So I think I'll sing anyway. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Let me tell you something about your trouble. And I hope this offends you. I'm trying to offend you. You are not going through anything that there isn't a host of people on the other side of your problem that is telling you, hey, we made it, and if we made it, you can make it too. Just keep on singing. Keep on praising God. Keep on being faithful. I'm getting attitude, okay? And I apologize a little bit for that. I dare somebody right now, I dare somebody to stand up and declare to this congregation your need that is greater than God's ability when He said, let there be light. Boom. Somebody stand up right now and say, well, I can tell you right now, it's just really, really bad, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep on trusting God. We're going to keep on believing God, because there's 8,810 promises of deliverance. Okay, I'm not done. I'm getting close. Who wants to sing in the midst of trouble? I don't. When I'm in the midst of trouble, I want y'all to come and hug me up and pat me on the back. I want y'all to hug my neck and kiss my cheek and tell me, hey, maybe not today, but real soon, it's all going to be good. I want you to come and quote a scripture or two with me. I want you to, sometimes, I know when I have knee surgery, I want y'all to feel sorry for me just for 7 minutes, okay? 7 minutes, time it. 7 minutes. But the Lord goes in this 54th chapter, the Lord goes to His people. The Lord goes to Israel. And the Lord said, sing. Wait a minute, God, we're in Babylonian captivity. Yeah, you're in Babylonian captivity for your ignorance. Here's something. Listen, if I preach anything that is contrary to what He preaches, you remember this. He's right, I'm wrong. And if I preach something that He doesn't believe, I'll see you in 7 years, okay? We give the devil and we give hell too much credit. Sometimes it's not hell that's coming against you. Sometimes it's your, can I use that word just one time? Please. I won't do it if you won't give me the okay. It's okay? Sometimes it's your stupidness. I don't get to use the word stupid at home. It's kind of like the B word. I don't get to use and I don't get to use shut up at home. It feels so good. She said I could. Sometimes it's your inaction that puts you in the mess that you're in. You knew. This is free, y'all. You knew you should have been at prayer meeting on Monday night. Why is that? Why is it on Sunday you can have 200 and on Monday night prayer meeting you got 9? What? Hey, if you get quiet on me, that means you're doing it. And that means I got to stay there for a while. You know what? Sometimes our problem is self-imposed. Let me tell you this, and this is something that I'm very proud of, and forgive me for bragging, but I'm going to brag for a moment. You have never, there is no one that I know that has ever seen me in a service sitting down, refusing to clap, refusing to sing. You know what? I'm on my feet, and I'm clapping my hands. I'm going to stomp my foot. I don't care, even if you're just singing Amazing Grace, I'm going to worship. Why? Because of 8,810 promises and 8,810 promises that he said he would go with me all the way. My dad's 90 years old. Boy, you're talking about a hoot. He is 90 years old, and he's driving me almost crazy and definitely crazier. There's no doubt about that. But you let me tell you one thing. You get up in front of somebody and start talking ugly about me, my daddy will kick you in the shin. I'm the best son he's ever had. I'm the only son he's ever had. I take care of him just like I'd take care of my own kids. I don't take care of him as good as I do my grandkids, because that's a whole different level. That's a whole different level. But I got a natural daddy. I call him Pop. Some of y'all know him. And if you thought he was ornery when you met him, multiply that times 34. Now, he'll laugh with you if you're ribbing me. He'll laugh with you. But the second that he thinks that you're kidding me in jest because you really mean it, what's that thing about a woman scorned? No. Put Pop in there. He'll have your hide. Let me tell you something. I've got a Heavenly Father that'll do the very same thing. I've always known that all I had to do was get on the phone and dial 270-827-5360. And when my dad answered the phone, it didn't matter what I needed. It didn't matter if I was in California. It didn't matter where I was. There was help on the way. If you'll put that kind of confidence in your mom and dad, whose hands are tied on many things, why wouldn't you give it to God and say, Heavenly Father, would you help me? The Lord said, you're in Babylonian captivity, but sing. Now, I'm not here today to tell you to sing. Y'all heard how bad I sing. I don't pastor anymore. I did not retire from ministry. I retired from dealing with people. I got a degree in counseling. That's the dumbest thing I ever did in my whole entire life. Master's degree in counseling. I had a lady come in my office. Her blouse, the front of her blouse, was soaked. It was soaking wet. I mean, she's crying so hard, face all puffed up. She went through 47 tissues and laid them on my desk. You! It's a full body shiver. So I'm trying to get out of her. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Finally, she said, hey, I'll tell you what's wrong. My niece got married. I helped raise her. I fed her, put clothes on her. And they had me sitting at the reception at the 12th table from the front. Instead of me being on the front line with all the family, they had me at the 12th table. Ma'am, get your Kleenexes and go home. I thought to myself, if that's all I had to worry about, I would be kicking up my heels. I would be thanking God. What a great thing. But you can't fake a blouse or whatever that was that she had on. You can't fake that being soaking wet. It was real to her. Foolish to me, but real to her. I'm telling you that there are some things that you are not going to understand in your walk with God. And sometimes the things in your walk with God isn't necessarily something that God is doing to you or something that hell is doing to you. It's just a thing called life. Whoever said old age was golden years, they were dipsticks. Golden years is full of things that doesn't work like they did. Golden years, listen, you say, well, at least I've got the money to go. I had a guy complain to me, a guy in my church. He complained to me probably 6 or 7 months ago. He complained to me, I got to go to the doctor, and I haven't even met my deductible yet. 71 years old. And he's so well that he hasn't even met his $2,500 deductible. You know what he should have been saying? The Lord said, you're in captivity, but it's time to sing. Why? Let me go back. The Lord said, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords. Strengthen thy stakes, because the blessing is on its way. You're in captivity, but prepare for your liberation. Just because your life is upside down, I can pretty well handle upside down. It's upside down and inside out. This gives me trouble. Just because your life is upside down, I'm here to tell you, if you will sing in a barren land, and if you'll sing even in your captivity, you know what the Lord's going to do? I don't know if he's going to sling his arm, if he's going to snap his fingers, if he's going to say the word. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I can guarantee you that God's not going to leave you in that captivity. God's not going to forsake you. He's not going to turn his back on you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to bring you out of a barren land. It's time now. It's time now to prepare. How do I prepare? Sing in a barren land. When I was pastoring, did I tell y'all I wasn't pastoring anymore? I know this is going to upset y'all. Sorry. I let folks sing on the platform that couldn't sing a lick. I'm talking about they'd start singing, and you'd want to hold your ears. They started out in C, about midway, jumped over to G, and then they went to some kind of flat, B flat or something. And I'm not arguing with anything that this church stands for. I'm not arguing that. But I'm just telling you, those folks that couldn't sing in key, they were some of the best songs when it came to worship of anywhere. Oh, Pastor, you don't want me to sing tonight. You know I can't. Did the Lord deliver you from a 4-car pileup on the interstate? Yeah, we want you to sing tonight. I want you. What do you want me to sing? I only know one song. Sing it unto the Lord. I'm just here. I'm just telling you that sometimes you got to sing when you don't feel like it. Sometimes you got to worship when you don't feel like it. Sometimes you got to put your hands in together. Amen. All because, amen, liberation, freedom is going to come. God's not going to leave you in captivity. He's not going to leave you in barrenness. Stand with me, please. And just so you know, I didn't go through half of my notes. I want to tell you this story. Maybe I had you stand too quick. I just want to tell you this quick story. We had a guy in our church. He came up for prayer. Had one of the most ugly things I've ever seen in my life on top of his head. Cancer. Horrible. Horrible to look at. Horrific to look at. Turned your stomach. That's how bad it was. He said, oh, no, I don't know what to do. I know what the doctors have said, but I don't know what to do. Well, I wasn't about to anoint that thing. So I went and got the oil. I pulled the top off. Come here. Just about that long. It was running down his face. He was bald on top like me. That oil was running everywhere. We prayed for him. There wasn't any kind of a hand come through the, nothing like that. He went home. We went out to eat. We're sitting at the restaurant. Phone rings. Hello? It's the wife of the man that I prayed for. Pastor, get here as fast as you can. Spare not. Get here as fast as you can. I jumped up. I ran to my vehicle. I run every stop sign. I run every stoplight. That was fun. I broke every speed limit. I got there. I didn't knock on the door. I slung the door open. I ran in. Where are y'all at? She said, we're back here in the bathroom. So I got to the bathroom door, and I said, what's going on? She said, get in here. I opened the door, and there she stood in her nightgown. Well, I had never seen it on that wise before. And she's pointing to her husband. I turned and looked, and he's standing there in his boxers and athletic t-shirt. Had never seen that before either. And he's pointing at the commode. I'm not going over and looking. I walked over and I just kind of the thing that was on top of his head when I prayed for him was floating in that water. And he said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I know what to do. Fix that. I just want you to know today that God's not going to leave you in captivity. God's not going to leave you in a barren place. God's not going to leave you under the servitude of something that you don't want to be under. You know what God's going to do? God's going to bring you out if you'll just be faithful to Him. Come to the house of God when you don't feel like it. Pastor anymore because I was the most horrible pastor in the world. But you know what I told my folks? I told my folks, I don't care how sick you are. I don't care if you're running a fever. I don't care if you're throwing up. I don't care. You come to the house, God. Now you sit on that very back pew. And don't you hug anybody's neck and don't you shake anybody's hand. But if you, I don't care how sick you are, if you feel like coming to church, we're going to hold you up in prayer. As a matter of fact, we may not even have church. We may just have prayer meeting for you. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people come through the doors of that church and it looked like they were just going to die. It looked like they were playing hooky from the graveyard. I mean, you just didn't know if they was going to make it to the next pew, but they would leave dancing and shouting in victory. Want to know why? Because they sang in their captivity. I'm just here today to let you know, I'm not saying that God's going to deliver you from captivity. I'm not saying that there's going to be some kind of great miracle that something comes off your head. I'm not saying that. But what I am telling you is that God will bring you through it every time. He'll give you, if he doesn't deliver you from it, he'll give you the grace to go through it. Ain't that the old saying that they make? I'm here today to let you know your captivity has not secluded you from God. And there's 8,810 promises that he's going to help you. Would you slip out of your pew today? You don't have to admit anything. But if you got a little captivity going on, you got a little, I'm going to be honest with you. I got captivity in my life today. I've got things right now that I'm not sure how to handle. But I got a God that made a promise to me that he's going to take care of me and that he's going to help me. Let's worship the Lord together.
When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph.
My God will never fail.
No, my God.
Sometimes we sing the song, but we don't sing the song. Sometimes we sing along, but we don't sing it for ourselves. Anybody, come on. Is there anybody guilty? You ever come to church and you sing a song, you just sing it along, but you're not really singing it? I feel like there's a lot of sing-along going on here today. Here's what the preacher said. He said, in the middle of your captivity, you need to sing. And let me just say, we're singing a great song right now. I want you to change. We're going to change the word just a little bit. We're going to sing this.
It's going to work in my favor. It's going to work in my favor. It's going to work in my favor.
Don't sing along. Don't sing along. You say it.
It's going to work in my favor. It's going to work in my favor.
Come on, sing it, sing it, sing it.
It's going to work in my favor.
Oh, I know you're going to do it, but come on, sing it. It's going to work.
It's going to work.
Your mind has changed and your heart has changed. Here's what I will tell you, and I'm always a big proponent of not preaching what's already been preached. But he stopped. I can't believe it. He stopped too soon. Put that scripture back up there. Put that scripture. I thought you were going to say this. Go to the next one. He preached that. Go to the next one. He preached that. What? Here's why you do all that. Because you're going to break out on the right. You're going to break out on the left. You're going to inherit. Listen. I'm telling somebody, there's power when problems come and you praise God anyway. Listen, I've been through too much. Anybody else? Come on, somebody testify. I've been through too much not to listen to what this preacher said. I don't care what kind of hell you're walking through right now. You hear the preacher. God said, I'm going to break out on the right. I'm going to break out on the left. Come on, you ought to take the promise. You ought to take the promise of God. Everywhere I turn, he's breaking out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you leave, you ought to turn to three people and say, it's time for you to break out. Yes, it's breakout time. Tell them, tell somebody. It's breakout time. It's breakout time. You're going to break out everywhere you turn. You turn to the right, you turn to the left. God's going to break out everywhere you turn. Come on, tell some. Preach to him. Finish the message for him. Come on, tell him. Some of you ain't talking. Tell somebody right now. He's going to break out for you. He's going to break out for you in Jesus' name. My heaven, we had a time in the house of the Lord. Did anybody enjoy church this morning? Did you enjoy being in God's presence? Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Frederick, for preaching. Everybody here, you ought to go hug his neck. Did you hear how much he talked about hugging? This guy needs some hugs, all right? give him some love this morning. Him and Sister Freda, we're so glad they're with us. God bless you. Go in Jesus' name, Sister Naven. I love you. Amen. And we'll see you on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, Brother Blake's preaching on Wednesday night. We're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Go in Jesus' name.